Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Again, this, listen to the roar. Scott McTominay just equalised, but honestly, this has been so predictable. United go behind, another goal in the mid 20 minutes, and a really, really poor performance once again. It looked a cert to be heading towards a defeat. And Scott McTominay just equalised. Old Trafford will come alive. Erik ten Hag's appealing for the fans to get behind his team. 2 minutes left. Fucking get in now! Get in now! Oh my word. Football bloody hell. Scott McTominay in the 97th minute. His second goal. Oh wow. Listen to Old Trafford. I mean, I just thought United were going for another defeat there. I really did. And then 2 goals right at the end from Scott McTominay. Absolutely brilliant. Oh my. And the Old Trafford smiling. Now, gosh, to smile, not to be despondent, to see goals. What a feeling. Oh. Just listen to Old Trafford. Just after so much pain. The Brentford players are going to their fans now on the right. They've all been applauded. They came so close. But listen to Old Trafford. Please do. I do apologise for not being as professional as I should have been in the press box just then.
This United We Stand podcast is brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Improve Easy are helping United fans save money on their energy bills by installing home improvement measures such as free solar panels, free boilers and free insulation. All you need to do is text the word EASY to 60777. Just see if you qualify. There's government money there and it's aimed at helping people like you make your energy bills much better. So if you text the word EASY, EASY, to 60777, give it a go. Why not? There might be money there for you and you might be missing out if you don't. That's Improve Easy. Text 60777 to see if you might be able to get free solar panels, boilers or free insulation in your house.
I'm outside Old Trafford, and we've Binsey before the match. Binsey, give me hope, Joanna.
It's just another mate. Fine day in Gotham City. I actually feel fine. We're going to win today.
Binsey.
I think, no, They've got to do something today. They've got to.
You said that before Palace last week, didn't you?
He's running out. The clock's ticking. I feel sorry for Ten Hag, I do. You know what I mean? No, I'm pretty... I know. I feel confident today.
Yeah,
I do feel confident. Although the defence is crap, but...
There's a lot of injuries on that defence, isn't there?
We've got... how many's out? 10 first-team injuries?
10 first-team left-backs, I think.
Any team that loses their three main defenders at the back, about to be fucking problems, isn't there?
Binsey, you've been like really sensible here, and like this doesn't sound like Binsey. Have you, like, has Mrs. Bin's been looking after you this week?
I've come to terms that Rashford's here. Bruno's, I don't know what the fuck, he needs to start playing football instead of fucking whinging. You know what I mean? Realise you're playing for the biggest club in the world, so get together, let's go. You know what I mean? Someone told me the other day we got offered 150 million for Rashford off PSG.
Who told you that?
You know what the grapevine's like.
Yeah, but I've got to stand these things up with facts, you know. Who's told you that? I've got, you know, if need be, go to court and prove
a fellow red. No, I know, so it's gossip and hearsay.
Right. What's
his story? He was hovering around. PSG were hovering around him.
All right, so Barcelona twice tried to sign him. Both times did not think he would come and probably wouldn't have been able to afford if United would have asked. PSG, definite interest as well. That 150 million figure, I can't see how they would have fit that in with their financial fair play.
I don't care, I wish he would have gone.
Yeah, but I'm just... The financial fair play, they wouldn't have got that transfer through. PSG signing him.
Stop it, Andy. Financial fair play.
They've got the money. But
go and ask Sheikh Mansour about financial fair play. Go and ask Abramovich about financial fair play. In fact, go and ask the Edwards family about financial fair play.
Edwards family weren't putting in. You know, when Manchester United went to try and get a new manager,
we were selling fucking meat potato pies, weren't we?
That's nothing to do with financial fair play. Liverpool paid bigger wages than Manchester United at the start of the 80s. When United went to get a new manager, who ended up being Ron Atkinson, he was the three managers turned United down, partly because the wages were crap.
Him from South Africa, Laurie McNamara, he was the main one.
Bobby Robson, Ron Saunders,
I think they're all at it, financial fair play.
Are you suggesting that Manchester City's success has been done with absolute transparency and clarity, and those 115 charges are there's nothing on them?
Are you fucking joking?
Have you got blue mates?
They're more guilty. I've got a few, unfortunately.
What did they say?
They said I've got red tinted glasses.
You?
And I say we all bleed red. Yeah.
Take me back to a happier time, Binsey. Rather than today. When were you going to most matches? When were you going away? Which European...
The 70s, the 80s.
What was more
Saint
exciting?
Saint-Étienne.
Were you in Saint-Étienne in 77?
Yes, I was there. Didn't have a fucking penny in my pocket.
How did you get there?
Tapper. You know the usual Mancunian way. Thumb, train, fucking boat, anything.
You hitched?
Without paying, yeah.
You got to Saint-Étienne for free?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we liberated a few funds when we were over there.
Right. How did you get down to Dover?
Hitchhiked.
You hitched?
Yeah.
By yourself?
No, there was a few of us. We split up, don't
we? So you split. And how did you get on the boat then without a ticket?
Oh, it's easy to get on the boat.
Is
it? Back then it was. Yeah. I don't know about now. But it was easy to get on the boat.
Without a ticket?
Yeah.
How?
You just walk on, Andy.
Yeah?
Come on.
No one says, where's your ticket?
Did it? You're talking about the fucking 70s.
So then you get into France. How'd you get
I was flying to fucking Germany, Frankfurt one day, and they held the fucking plane up for us to go to the gate because we had hand luggage. Now they'd go, sorry, lad, you'll have to get the next plane.
Is that why you don't like flying?
Yeah.
How did you get from from Calais to Saint-Étienne?
Train.
Right.
Yeah. Just get on the train, heading down there. You don't pay on it.
You had no ticket.
The fucking train. He had nothing. Don't think he had a fucking 10 pence in my pocket.
What if the ticket collector asked for your ticket?
I won't let him fucking get the opportunity to ask me. One sec, Andy.
So where would you go? How did you avoid the being asked for the train ticket? Where did you go
once you get on the trains over there, you're on. They didn't. It's not like England where they have train guards running up and down. You're on. That's
so you go through Paris, you get to St Etienne.
Yeah.
What happens there? Do you have an hotel?
No.
Did you have a match ticket?
Straight to the game, and then you get straight back home as best you can.
Did you?
And after that, St Etienne, he just wanted us all out of France and get.
You were waiting. Did you have a match ticket?
Did the fuck have a match? Yeah, piece of fucking French bread.
So you get in. Was there fighting there?
What's the fight?
Did you?
It was non-stop. I'm a nice lad. I was just made sure I was with the Reds. You know what I mean? So
you were fighting?
Yeah, the police give it us and everything. You know who to ask about that.
So you then acquire some money while you're there?
Yeah. I just wanted to get out of there after the game.
So you needed money?
And when we got to Dover, the fucking police had it waiting for everybody, weren't they? Nicking people.
So did they nick you?
No, you've got to become the Scarlet Pimpernel then.
So how did you hide them from the police?
Your listeners won't know this, but you've got to just look at me. I'm a nice, not a threatening lad or anything. Excuse me, is that the time? Yeah, see you later.
So you blend in with the crowd?
Yeah, where's the Brighton train? Over there, yeah.
Bang, straight through.
Yeah.
And then you come through to London.
Yeah. But that was 77, if
my memory...
A long time
ago. Yeah, it was 77. Yeah. And then they had to replay it at Home Park in Plymouth.
Yeah. I never got there because it was a night match.
Right. Well, you are allowed to travel in the day tonight.
No,
matches.
I might have been at school.
Jeez. I mean, it sounds like anarchy.
Oh, it was anarchy. Them French coppers, mate. There was a bread strike on, weren't there?
Yeah.
Everyone was throwing bread at us.
Yeah, well, you're doing eating it because you had no money.
No, we don't have to eat it of bread. By the way, it's all right, that French bread.
Cheers. Yeah, I mean, baguettes are from France, aren't they?
Yeah.
Is that what? Is that
croissant.
Are you a bit of a foodie?
No.
What's your favourite meal?
I like a bit of steak and chips.
Steak and chips?
Or a bit of Chinese.
Do you like Japanese food?
Love it.
Do you? So yeah. Good job when you're in jail there. No, but I mean, it is different.
You eat a lot of fish and sushi, all that fucking miso soup for your fucking breakfast. I don't want miso soup for me fucking breakfast.
You take Mrs. Binns out to like nice restaurants in Manchester?
All the time.
Do you?
Hawksmoor, Gusto. Yeah. I'm quite a refined gentleman now at my age.
Obviously.
Who is in that?
Manchester's changed a lot, hasn't it?
What's he called? The summit cat, that?
The black cat?
Yeah.
El Gato Negro? No.
Bro, what's his name? The Scotch chef, fucking Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay, yeah.
Yeah.
Been in his place?
I was in there, yeah. I want my fucking money back.
Why? What?
Fucking 700 quid. The food was jite.
What would you do if you saw him?
I'd ask him for a refund.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He
wasn't even there.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he thinks he's an hard case, doesn't he?
Yeah. And is he?
I don't know. I found that empty vessels make the most noise.
Right. So the people who give it the big one...
Empty
not,
vessels.
Yeah,
it's the quiet
not,
ones.
The quiet ones who are the most dangerous ones.
Correct.
But, Binzi, you used to come up to me when I was a child selling fanzines on this street and say, you couldn't sell these fanzines in the 80s because you'd get slashed.
No, you're right. I don't know about slashed.
Okay.
The different fan then.
I know.
You look at this place. You know what we call it?
What?
Disneyland.
Yeah. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
I saw it changing right throughout the 90s. Literally month after month.
Yeah.
The demographics would change. And I used to...
I tell you when I knew it had changed. We played Leeds in the Cup.
Yeah.
And I seen a split scarf. Leeds and yeah, and I thought, fucking hell, I'll get lynched selling them.
Yeah. And now it's
bit of greed, but now these people they come from the four corners of the earth to see United.
Yeah.
It's like a memorabilia for them, a souvenir. Yeah. Now it's accepted, isn't it? It's part of the...
I don't accept Galatasaray fans being in the home section.
Well, you were better have a word with the Manchester United ticketing and membership then, hadn't
you? Try to get to the bottom of that. It's going to take time.
Well, there was blocks of them, so there's no way they bought ticket touts. I think United are the biggest ticket touts out here, Andy. Wait till the derby. How much were they selling it? 1,180 for a derby ticket.
For an exec in the derby. Yeah.
To watch us get fucking mullered.
There's a big bit on in United We Stand about the tickets as well. And there'll be an even bigger bit next month.
Yeah, there's no way they were bought off the street. They were bought through the club. There was that many of them. I was out here after the game. There was murders outside.
We've been talking about another podcast. Murders?
Proper went
fighting.
Off out. Yeah.
Really?
Proper fighting here.
Who between?
Galatasaray fans and the stewards.
Among each other and stewards or United?
United fans, stewards. And Galatasaray.
And were you just watching?
Yeah, I was stood there. But the stewards got on it.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah. He was, you know, Rob, the steward.
Yeah.
Fucking got stuck right into him and his pals.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good lad,
yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, he got good stuck red into them. Yeah. Got stuck into them.
When I.
The fucking police took about an hour to get here, you know what I mean?
When I went to Forest in '88 on a members' coach, I was a kid. Rob was at the back of the coach. The police came to give us an escort and he was chanting, "We don't need an escort." He was probably like 15, you know what I mean? We definitely did need an escort. I'm on to Matt Busby Way. I saw a couple of Brentford fans. You couldn't miss them with the shirts on. How are you feeling about coming to Old Trafford today?
Oh, I don't know. I think you've been a bit hit and miss at the moment, but I do think
you can add the latter S to the word hit if you want, because that would be more accurate.
You've got quality players around the pitch, and if you all turn up together on one day, you can play very well.
Are you surprised at your form this season? What one league win? I was at Brentford. I saw you beat Liverpool at the start of the season. I was there for work, and it was the atmosphere, the performance. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Surprised, shocked. I don't know.
I think we've got six injuries that would probably normally play week in, week out, whether it's off the bench or coming on, and then with Ivan Toney. If you take 20 goals out of any team, really, you're gonna struggle. If it was yourselves, you had a 20 goal striker, you just went randomly, took him out without replacing, you're gonna struggle. So that's sort of what we are. And he does so much, holds the ball up, comes in deep, plays it. So we're missing that along with the other injuries, it's a little bit of an issue, but I think we have got enough to keep us going for now, but it's just we need them back quick.
How long have you supported Brentford?
Oh, unfortunately, he took me when I was five. So I was 20 years now.
Imagine if you said since the start of last season. Yeah. When we come from over. So you established it. You know, the stadium seems to be a success. You've had some really good results against the biggest teams, including one not far from here. It's just a wonderful ride. The first time I went to Griffin Park, you played Orient, it was a third division game, and that was your normal level, you know?
Yeah, it's mental. Like, what was it? I remember going down, like, third from bottom in League Two, just going week in, week out, and it's just crazy just to think from there. And we're up here. Even when we got to the Premier League, I was like, it'll be fine. One season there, we'll go back down to where we belong. I even think now, we're probably the size of the club, we're probably a top end League One side.
Yeah.
We've got our new ground, it may be Championship, but we're just outperforming ourselves at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
It's just great to be about.
And is this all about the data, having a good manager, a progressive owner?
I think so. It helps with our owner, what Brentford fan, he just wants what's best for the team, best for the club, he uses his data and whatnot. And I think, everything around, like we've got like this little, I think like a weird little Brentford ecosystem. I think there's people that have left it and gone to other places, like scouts and coaches and, you know, Rasmus Ankersen, who's gone off to Southampton, which he's owning them, and he tried doing the same thing he did at Brentford, not worked. I think with everything, all the cogs are all joining together, and it's all really well, but it's because I think we get it, we know what we need to succeed at the moment anyway, so, to work.
Why have you only won one game this season?
I don't know, everything's not sort of clicking. We sort of creating chances. We've not got anyone that's clinical enough to put them away. Defensively, we've looked a little bit shaky than previous what we've had, like clean sheet after clean sheet last year, with Rea leaving as well. What he's, in my opinion, you just probably should have got him instead of Onana. That's what I've always thought, that when De Gea left, he was going to go to you, and it never happened. I think he's a quality keeper, and we brought in a keeper that's not experienced in the league. And with the injuries to like Rico Henry in our defence and a couple, it's not been the same, but I think it will be alright. I think we'll find a way.
Score prediction for today?
I think 2-2. I think you'll score early, and then we'll get one back somehow. And then we'll go 2-1 up, and then you'll come back at the end. I think we'll come together, but your quality will probably get you to the goals. Individual quality, anyway.
I'm going 3-1 Brentford.
That's a big shout. That's a big shout.
A little bit of reverse psychology. I'm sick of predicting us to win and we lose. All right, all the best,
lovely.
Lads.
Thank you very much.
So how long have you been going to Brentford matches?
57 years now.
So, for the vast majority of that time, you're a low division team. What's now feel like?
Now it's just like dreamland, fantasy island. After, say, years and years of going Stockport, Halifax, Mansfield, places like that, it's like a dream to come up here to be in the same division. I remember coming up here in the League Cup, but it was like, oh God, we can't remember right. Now it's, oh, we're in the same division now, and it's just... Don't see right.
Putting four goals past in half an hour in the same division.
Yeah, there was that as well. Yeah, that was quite a good day, I must say.
So you're Wales. So my uncle Charlie scored against Brentford in 1948.
My dad was probably going there.
Yeah, that was the last time for a long time that they played until Brentford came back into the.
It's a little bit before my division. Time.
A little bit. You've been going along, but not that long. Before the rise, what was your highlight? You know, your historical...
Winning the London War Cup final back in 1935. Beating Portsmouth 2-1.
It's amazing, isn't it? How it's just changed.
Do you think the Freight Rover Trophy final in 1985, where we lost to Wigan 3-1. That was our first trip to Wembley. It was like, my God, we're Wembley. This is it.
And your traditional rivals would be... Would QPR look down on you?
Yeah,
Fulham.
Fulham, QPR.
Bit, and Fulham Rose as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
What a story. All the best today, mate. I hope your team get comprehensively beaten. I'm on some at Busby Way before the game and just bumped into Chris Bedding. Goes to all the games. Chris, how are you feeling about United right now?
Not as bad as most people, Andy.
Why?
Because I think we have to have some ups and downs. And it's only Erik ten Hag's second year. There's going to be some difficult patches for him, for us, for the team. And I feel sorry for him because his biggest players are either injured. I think Luke Shaw was one of our best players last year. Bruno and Casemiro going through a tough time. Rashford, well publicised. So four of his best players, add into that Martinez. They're probably our best five players last year. And they're either out of form or injured. So I think we've got to hang in there with Erik. And... I love it that you and Barney are giving him all the support for either fanzines, and us supporters have got a part to play.
It's not just
that.
The fanzines, it's media, you know. It's when United are losing, my phone just blows up with radio, with telly, and I like to think I'm sensible. I know what's going on. You don't have to agree with me, but I'd rather have lads who are involved in the fanzine on doing it, because if not,
absolutely,
you can get some absolute fucking tin pots talking nonsense with just immediate knee-jerk reactions. It's been crap, you know, I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
Yeah.
But
I can't stand it, Andy, when you get people getting on Marcus Rashford's back.
Because he's not scoring.
Yeah.
But they're entitled to critique him, you know, if he's not playing well.
Yeah, but people who sit around me, some people are onto him all the time.
Whereabouts?
Non-stop.
Where'd you sit?
North Stand, lower, Stretford End, in line with the penalty spot.
Same what sort of things about him?
Oh, Rashford, take him off, get him out. And just on his case, moaning at him all the time. And all the groans. When 60,000 people groan, 70,000 people, it makes a huge noise.
That's
what does that do to him?
If you're North Lower, you're right by the player, aren't you?
Yes.
You can hear that.
Where they warm up, yeah.
You can hear it, yeah. That's interesting. Today. Okay. Brentford today? Giving up predicting. I'm going 3-1 to Brentford with my...
I heard your prediction on the podcast.
Reverse psychology.
I'm going 3-1 the other way.
Right.
And I'd love it if Rashford scores.
Yeah,
love
I would
it.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely love it. I think Anthony will start, because I said to you just now about we need some left footers back in the team. Give it some creativity and whatever.
They're all injured. Most of them are injured.
Yeah. So it'd be good to see Anthony back, I think. I know there's lots of issues around that, but having a left footer in the team will make such a difference, I think.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Andy.
Everything seems to be going up in price at the moment, and people are making cutbacks, a lot of them to streaming services, Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime. Well, if you can use ExpressVPN, you can make some cutbacks and save money. each month. Let us explain. You see, all these streaming services like Netflix actually have thousands of more shows than you think. You just don't see them all because they give you different shows depending on your country. So what you see on Netflix here is completely different to what somebody in Italy or South Korea sees. But by using the ExpressVPN app, you can change your online location. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from. So every time you run out of stuff to watch, you can just switch to another country to unlock new shows. With ExpressVPN, you just tap one button to change your country, refresh the page, and it shows up. You don't need to pay extra for Apple TV or Prime in another country to watch it. On top of that, you can even use ExpressVPN to get discounts. Some services cost less in other countries. For example, if you buy Netflix from Argentina, it costs a fraction of the price. And at less than £5 a month, ExpressVPN pays for itself and so much more. I use it. It's the VPN that I use, and I find it really good. And I would happily recommend it. So if you want to get away more shows and save money while you're at it, go to expressvpn.com/United. Don't forget to use our link from this podcast so you get 3 months extra for absolutely nothing. That's expressvpn.com/United. expressvpn.com/United to learn more.
Phew, it's post-match after United have come from behind in late drama to beat Brentford by 2-1, and I'm stood with all the fans in cellars to give you a podcast which, if we've all done our job properly, I've got absolutely no right to be talking about because none of us have actually seen the goals. So we're probably going to
come to the Skyver first.
Yeah. Obviously, our gaffer will be talking through a lot. So if you like listening to Ant Shaw, carry on. If not, maybe turn off now. I've got John McCauley with me, former Plymouth Argyle striker. I've got Stu Edwards. I've got James Young, and obviously our fearless leader Ant Shaw. It would have been a pod full of moaning.
It still might be.
It wasn't a great performance, but in terms of the rest of the season and that turnaround there is absolutely huge, surely.
Yeah, definitely. And I saw Ten Hag's celebration. He's loads of relief. A lot of the players seemed really relieved at the result as well. So in one sense, maybe we can build on this. In another, you're worried about how sustainable the situation is. The one thing I observed is United are paying a lot of players a lot of money and not getting much change from them, and that's like Varane, Shaw, Rashford, Sancho,
Casemiro.
Yeah, and that's got to change very quickly because all the quality in our side is not really performing much at the moment.
And this is the one person on our podcast who actually seen us win 2-1. So
yeah,
I want to come to the other lads because, like I said, we obviously know we've won the game. We've not seen anything back. We often puff, John. We walked out the ground and pretty much we've guaranteed that we were going to lose, weren't we? We didn't see that coming. Yeah, we didn't see that coming, did we?
No, not at all. It looked like Crystal Palace, where we could have played for hours and hours and not scored. Brentford weren't that intelligent, but you don't have to be that intelligent to defend against United nowadays. They defended pretty well. Obviously, we got a bit of luck in injury time, but it was all doom and gloom on it when we come out in the 80th minute.
James Ant rightly talks about the wages that some of the United players want, obviously, but I think sometimes it doesn't matter how much money you're on, though, you can't buy confidence, and I think that was a team that was low on confidence, I thought, today.
Yeah, I think that's like you were saying, it's relief, because I think I thought it was going to be the same as Palace, and especially after that Galatasaray game, when you lose in the way that you do, you need to be able to rebound from that. And on one side, you look at it and you go, well, shouldn't take 2 goals right at the end to beat Brentford, and I thought for 89 minutes they were pretty poor, and a lot of the same problems were the same that they were there against Palace and against Galatasaray. But hopefully they could use this and go, right, well, we're going to push on now and maybe try and get something a bit more from it, because you're just getting that rot if you just lose games and games and games. And kind of reminds me a bit, under Solskjaer, when United were getting last minute winners, they were still winning football matches, but there still wasn't that obvious flaw in the team, and I think that's the concern that I've got. You can probably get away with it against Brentford, but against City in a few weeks' time, and even against Bayern and against Galatasaray away, they're not going to be able to do that.
Stu, one of the nice things about this job we do, there are odd perks, but is that people do genuinely come up to you and tell you, they thank us for our work, for keeping the fanzine going, and the sacrifices we make to be able to do it. Today was a perfect example of that, and if people are going to thank us, we've obviously to sell the fanzine today, and we've missed all the highlights of And there's not been many highlights lately being a United fan.
No, I've missed obviously the two goals. It's nothing new. Missed many, many goals over the years selling the mag. It's part and parcel, isn't it? So I left you obviously before the board went up and again walked out like you just said. Not expecting anything really. Expecting it to be another 1-0 home win and, you know, defeat and losing three games in a week at Old Trafford, which has probably never been done before. But I think the worrying thing is, I just thought we just looked completely devoid of any idea. I was going to say we didn't have a plan B or a plan C, but we didn't ever have a plan A, and that's for worry. Again, we've mentioned the normal suspects, and you know, again, there was a change, and I think, you know, Maguire came in, did okay. But again, Eriksen changed at midfield again at half time, and there just seems to be too many changes. And I know he's got lots of injuries, and he's limited in terms of what he can do. All over the pitch, really. But again, doesn't help when the keeper throws him in the back of the net again. And I've not seen it back properly. I'm at the Stretford end.
It wasn't great.
But yeah, just really devoid of ideas. And like James just said, going forward against some of these next two or three, you know, forget the Sheffield United game, you know, should go and win there, but you never know. But certainly after that, Copenhagen's massive, City's massive, 3 days after that, you know, League Cup, Newcastle massive. So it's not going to get any easier in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
You talk about changes, Arne. I'll come to Ante here because one thing, if you look back at this time last year when players were underperforming, I'm talking about the likes of Luke Shaw was hauled out of the team and someone was brought out. I know we've not got much choice defensively, but I'm looking at other positions in the team where we have got back up. You know, Onana has been poor, Rashford's been poor, Casemiro's been poor, but he seems to have gone back on what worked so well for him last year in terms of dropping these players for other players. These players suddenly seem untouchable again. And like I said, I'm not for 1 second suggesting that these players aren't trying, but they're obviously low on confidence and something's not quite there. So, you know, why is he still going with these players? And we were better when he hauled them off today.
I think the difficult thing about this start of the season is that you can't attribute it to one specific thing, I don't think. You know, we've got an injury list, which, you know, you can't not pay attention to that. It's that bad, you know, three left backs out, for example. But then you've
also
only
play one left back, you know what I mean? You're talking about back four today, but the rest of the forward line up today, though, we had pretty much everybody available.
But then obviously we've been missing Anthony for a few weeks, Sancho. Then you go into our midfield, and you know, Amrabat came when we were already three games gone. I think he was fit for our sixth game of the season or something. You know, the squad is a mess. And then, you know, you go into sort of Rashford's form, Casemiro's form, Luke Shaw's form, Sancho's form. You know, all of these people, they have to be ready to go every August if you're a serious football team. And like for me, he's been really sold short with them. He really has. I think it's a disgrace. It's October now, and Casemiro's still well out of shape. You know, I saw him lose about three balls that he was favourite for.
Give the ball away for the goal.
Exactly, and this stuff can't go on. You know, how he manages that is up to him. But, you know, I think United have to have a good word with these sort of players that are supposed to drag us through games with you know, the salaries they're on, and say to them, you know, are you serious about fighting for this club, or do you want to go to Saudi Arabia and, you know, finish your career? Because that's the choice for me. United can't carry these players. Varane, like, never fit. Was he out? Was he injured again today?
I'm assuming so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the type of thing. Yeah. And I know that I don't want to like go too far on him, because I know that they've got better quality than the players that are benched for, you know, in favour of them. But at the same time, you know, the harder you try, the luckier you get. You know, we scored real two scrappy goals there at the end, and that's just through, you know, energy and endeavour, and you know, and
you take graft over, and I think today is a perfect example of graft over talent, because Scott McTominay isn't as talented as some of those players ahead of him, but he puts a shift in.
Harry Maguire, you know, set the goal up as well. We all know the sort of like limitations of these players, but I just wish we had those. Some of the top earners had that attitude, because, you know, I mean, I look at Rashford when we go 1-0 down. I've never seen a player with such a poor mentality, and you know, he's got a lot of quality. I don't want to deny that, and I don't want to downplay. You know, I don't want to start saying he's a terrible player, but that application has got to go with that talent, and with a lot of hours, I think they get away with absolute murder, and I don't think they would at, you know, City or Liverpool. You know, Van Dijk's on the pitch every game for Liverpool. Salah's on the pitch every game for Liverpool. Same with, you know, City's top earners, Rodri and Haaland, and you know, United have to sort of stop giving out these deals based on 6 months of form, and that's what we've done.
John, hypothetical question, but do you think the manager might have been in a spot of bother if we'd lost that today?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, that we started the season, everyone always looked back at last season, didn't they, where we got panned in the first two games and thought, oh, we're doing much better than last season. And we're at a point now where we're definitely doing a lot worse than last season. So things turn very quickly in football, and there's an international break now, isn't there? I think getting that win was like, couldn't be more crucial. And it was scrappy, it was untidy, it was ugly to watch. But, you know, it could make a big difference having that break now, where the players can, where, you know, the management as well can reconvene, and then we go again with all them big games, because they're going to come thick and fast. And
so try and finish on slightly brighter note. We've obviously got the win. It's obviously brilliant to win games of football like that. We all love, you know, regardless whether it's Brentford or Bayern Munich, it's still a great way to win a football game. We've perhaps not had a bit of luck sometimes this season. You do make your own luck, but do we just take that as a massive springboard of, like, you know, something that can really sort of make us push on and be a springboard for the rest of the season now?
I hope you're right, mate. I hope you're right. Like I said, I've mentioned before, the next sort of three or four games after the international break. I mean, was it 6 minutes added on today? But I think the amount of time they were taking for throw-ins and goal kicks and stuff, it could have been 12 minutes. So there's certainly no argument that we scored in the 94th and 97th minute, or whatever it is. But yeah, you'd like to think that would give the team some boost, confidence. But I'm still very worried about the individuals, and I'm a bit worried, if I'm being honest. I'm not standing here and say Ten Hag out, by no means. But I think it would have been under massive pressure if I'd have ended up 1-0 today. And I am worried about, again, not having like a plan B. Plan A isn't great either. And I know. Obviously, again, he's a patched up team. That's the only thing which I'm really giving him benefit of a doubt for at the moment, because, you know, the team is different by three or four players seemingly every week. Anthony's come back into the fray after going on his holidays, and obviously, you know, it is a patched up team every week, so the next three or four games again are tough. And we could be pretty much out of Europe by this time next month, and out of the League Cup, and 15 points behind City. It could be doom and gloom in 4 weeks' time, and many would be under pressure, because, you know, out of cup competitions, and, you know, so far behind City, Arsenal, Liverpool, you know, a month before Christmas, questions will be asked.
We've moaned about the attitude of the team, though. Can we at least take some solace from the fact that we did keep going to the end today? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Their head didn't let their heads drop, which have been accused of, and the players who did come into the fold did work, you know, they proper put a shift in to get the result.
Yeah, and there were some good scenes at the end, you know, Delot, Onana, you know, they were all up for the fight and, you know, celebrating really well about it. Ten Hag was, you know, well off his bench. We have to really take that win today, because we've had plenty of setbacks this season already. I get what Stuart's saying about, you know, starting to speculate about what cups we're going to be in, but fact of the matter is we're still in them all moment, so we've got to take that. But we've got to sort of use this as a springboard now, because, you know, great scenes at the end there, and we got that bit of luck that I felt we've needed since the start of the season, really. Since Onana clattered into that Wolves player, really. Literally everything that's gone wrong, could have gone wrong since then, has done. So let's just take the win. You know, I think we've got Reggie on back next week as well, so that helps us at left back. So next week, Sheffield United away, it's a winnable game. Just got to start ticking them off now.
We used to do a Man of the Match award, but are we just this week doing a Man of Injury Time award? It should really be upgraded, quite straightforward.
I'm going to give it someone different, I reckon.
Up into the 90th minute, obviously, and not being in McGuire.
Yeah, we'll do two different ones.
I was going to give it Maguire.
Yeah, I thought Maguire did have a good game, actually, because he was one of
the... I'm going to say Maguire, but I was speaking to my mate who thinks he was at fault for that first goal. Obviously, Casemiro
lost the
ball.
It was Lindelof who played an awful side. Well, I think the ball deflected off him. Casemiro gave the ball away.
The point was, Casemiro got a bit of an hospital pass from Maguire, I think.
The point is, Onana's chucked it in the back of the net again.
But mine's Maguire. I
think if you've got four chances to clear a ball, you probably can't really blame him for that.
And you know, he's had a lot of stick over the last 2 years. I think it would have broken a lot of worse men. And you know, it's just that keeping going to the end. He was up there driving the ball forward throughout, in the box challenging, you know. And if United aren't playing well, we keep needing those breaks, really.
Agree with that, James?
Yeah, definitely.
Cheers, James. Yeah. on that note, obviously Andy's done the podcast today, so you don't need too much from us. You'd be forgiven for thinking that we have won the game, but we have won
John.
The game.
You missed John.
And it's sorry, John.
Are we going for the first 90 minutes?
Because that's all me and you saw. Yeah. So obviously you can't really get him in time. I didn't even know McTominay.
Yeah, I actually thought, which sums up the first 90 minutes, Dalot, the fullback, did all right. Yeah. He got forward a lot. He never stopped running. But that tells a story, doesn't it, when your fullbacks get a man of the match.
A lot was down that right-hand side as well, wasn't it?
I know he was to blame for that goal midweek, but when you look at his attitude towards playing at the moment, you sort of think that he's the last of our problems, don't you? Because he's got that energy, and I know our expectations are low, and it sounds ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is, mine are at the moment. I want to see players rolling their sleeves up. That's the situation we're in, where everyone's firing at us, you know, bit of backs to the wall. He did have a good game as well, and I like his attitude. Yeah.
So on that note, an extra few minutes at the end of the game have made a massive difference to the mood and going into the international break. We're in need of an international break ourselves after 4 games in 10 days, is it, at home?
Yeah.
But thanks so much to everyone for your support and how many of you have actually bought the magazine off us. It's testing times for United, but we showed some good character today. We've got the win. We dust ourselves off, we'll move on, and hopefully better things are coming after the international break.
Sheffield United away next.
I think
what team would you play for that? Because today, you know,
we've got fit.
I think you get a chance.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, Casemiro's been hauled off at half-time today. Rashford's been off for a minute. So do you stick with them, or do you actually go elsewhere?
Well, it's a question for the manager, and I think it's a good one.
Depends who plays internationally, though, doesn't it?
I think it's a very good one. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, nothing's expect the unexpected, I think, a little bit of Manchester United at the minute.
What does that mean?
I think it means a little bit more than 3 points for us after this last couple of weeks. I think the way that we won, obviously I didn't mind to score a few goals earlier than the 90 minutes, but I think it shows that we are here to fight, we are here to suffer together. I think the fans were behind us every step of the way, and I think this can be a turning point for us, and we want to look at this as a turning point. We know it's going to be difficult, but that's how we meant to be a Manchester United player, and I think today was a good proof that we can fight until.
So that's it for this podcast. Got a little break now because there's no games for a couple of weeks before Sheffield United, Copenhagen, and another team coming up at the end of the month. Back at Old Trafford, so the mood will be a little bit better after that win. But yeah, United need players back, and can't say we were fully convinced by the performance against Brentford despite the great end. The new United We Stand went on sale before the Brentford game. All subscription copies are now in the post. It's available to download as well, and it will be in the shops on Wednesday. If you can buy the mag at the ground or via subscription, that helps us more than anything else. But if you're just getting it, then we appreciate your support and need that support. But the mag is going well. There's an advert in the new mag for United We Stand sweater. So the t-shirts went really well, and we've done a sweater made in Manchester, so the quality is absolutely top, and well, the people who bought the t-shirts have been absolutely delighted. There's a code which isn't in the mag which gives you a 50% discount. The QR code's in the mag, and the code is UWS50. So that's UWS and the number 50. That gets you 50% off the t-shirts, which come beautifully packaged, as many of you know. And also the new sweaters, UWS50. Just one per person, please. And I was in the factory a couple of days ago. They're making them, they're stitching them. It's absolutely wonderful what's going on. Each of the badges takes 27 minutes to stitch in, so it's a very, very thorough process. So until the next time, we will see you after Sheffield in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.